what started this? What was the first thing that popped into your head that became this?
I mean, I think it goes back as far as when I was really pretty young and I was just interested in stories about immigrants. I grew up in Los Angeles, where part of my childhood was in LA, and I was always surrounded by immigrants, and then later lived in Paris and became particularly interested in the lives of new immigrants to that city, and North African and West African immigrants in particular. I spent a lot of time in neighborhoods where a lot of new immigrants were living, talked to a lot of those people, was interested in their stories, and have a certain appreciation, I think, for people who are willing to give up one life in hopes of a better life. It just seems to be a kind of, I mean, I think it's an indisputably universal story. And then I was spending a lot of time in Northern Italy and was trying to come up with an idea for a book, and a guy walked into these gardens where I was trying to do some work. And he was the only black man I had seen in this whole region. And I just couldn't stop thinking about, and I would see him day after day for a week. We never talked, but I just kept thinking, you know, how do you get there? And what's that life like? And so that's really the seed. I began reading about Liberian history, which I had some vague notion. I'd remembered it being interesting, and I don't think at the time I even knew why. And so I started reading about Liberia and then reading books. I read Helene Cooper's memoir, The House at Sugar Beach, which I found to be quite interesting. And I saw a film that had a very strong impact on me. And the cinematography of that film was done by Tim Hetherington, the photojournalist who was killed in Libya. So all of those things kind of came together, and I was playing with voice, and I had spent a lot of time on Santorini working, writing myself. And, you know, it's one of those mysterious things, and I should probably have a more precise and pat answer, but it's really a combination of things. And once I got her voice, and I knew it would be on that island, it just sort of happened.
It's a testament how good your writing is, because something has happened in this book in the past. We can't talk about it because it would blow the entire book.
Right.
The only thing that really happens in the book is she goes for a bus ride.
Yeah.
That she really didn't want to go on. And yet I was totally engrossed.
Oh,
so
I'm happy to hear that.
And we're mostly just in her head,
yeah.
Largely with accompanied by her mother.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the challenges of the book for me, is how do you tell a story where very little, at least in the present, happens. And I would argue that a little bit more than just this bus ride.
Yeah, I was being.
No, you know, but she does move from point A to point B. It is a journey from one end of the island to the other end of the island. And I kept thinking, something else has to happen. She needs to be arrested, or she needs to break her leg. Some kind of drama in her present life. And it just, every time I moved in that direction, it felt false. And it felt counter to the sort of ethos of the novel and the idea. And what I was reminded of is how much time someone who is homeless spends alone. And, you know, in talking to people and in the little research I did in this book, you know, that's something that I heard over and over again. You know, part of the difficulty of being homeless is that you are alone, and that you have an enormous amount of time to just sit. And there is, I hope, an inherent drama in that solitude. You know, it would be easier for her, I think, on a certain level, if something happened, if she were pursued by, you know, a villain, if she did get arrested, if any of those things had happened, I think it would allow for her to avoid what she is trying to avoid throughout most of the book, which is her memory. part of what happens in the book is that she has to reconstruct her life, and that there are very practical problems that she has to deal with: how to feed herself, how to shelter herself, where to go to the bathroom, how to find a home that is reasonably secure. And those are, on one hand, minor problems and relatively easily solved, but on the other hand, they're deeply important. And for me, that's part of the plot. And I began the book by asking this question: what do you do if you end up in a place with nothing? You know, practically, what is the first thing you do? What is the second thing you do? How do you literally construct a life? And that feels, for me anyway, is propulsive in terms of plot.
The book is A Marker to Measure Drift. I've been speaking with the author, Alexander Maksik, and A Marker to Measure Drift, published by Doubleday Canada.